PageantTalkZone.com.
It's time for Pageant Talk Radio with Valerie Hayes. This is the show that will inform and inspire you whether you're preparing for a pageant competition or just want to be an everyday beauty queen. We're here to help you develop life skills that transcend pageantry. Now, here's the host of Pageant Talk Radio, Valerie Hayes.
Hi, I'm Valerie Hayes, the pageant coach, and welcome to Pageant Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. On today's show, we're starting our countdown to Miss America 2011. I can hardly believe that it's already been a year since Carissa Cameron was crowned. Where did the time go? And I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited already about this year's pageant. In case you haven't already marked it on your calendar, the pageant is on Saturday, January 15th, live on ABC at 9 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Central Time. So write that down right now so you've got it on their calendar. Once again, the pageant is coming to us from Planet Hollywood, and if you're not planning to be there in person, there's still time to order your program book for your watching party at home. It's a special edition program book that celebrates the 90th birthday of the Miss America program. If you hadn't ordered yours yet, just visit the Miss America website by clicking on the link on our show page or going to www.missamerica.org. Well, on today's show, I'll be talking with an American icon, our reigning Miss America, Carissa Cameron, who's been working hard during her year of service, and she's going to give you insight into what a year as Miss America is really like. Plus, and for some of you more importantly, she's going to be sharing her last-minute tip for this year's Miss America contestants. You won't want to miss her advice. Then, a little later in the show, I'll be talking with our amazing Miss America's Outstanding Teen, Lacey Russ. It's going to be a great show for you today, and it's kicking off our countdown to Miss America. And for those of you who are still competing in your local Miss America and Miss America's Outstanding Teen preliminaries, or you've already got your local title and you're starting to prepare for your state competition, I want to remind you that my 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions and my Mastering the Pageant Interview Audio CD are the absolute, hands-down, best tools you can use to be ready to answer any question. That's what you want, right? To be ready to answer any question? Title holders that you've seen competing on TV have used my ebook and audio CD to practice at home on their own or when they're practicing with a practice partner. We all know that the interview is absolutely the key to winning over the judges, and you've got to be prepared to answer any question. Otherwise, you're nervous and pacing back and forth. So just click on the Perfect Practice Pageant Questions graphic or the Mastering the Pageant interview graphic on the Pageant Talk Radio show page to get yours today. And then we'll see you next year competing on the stage at the pageant. Well, my first guest today is a celebrity throughout the United States and around the world. We here in the United States think that we're the only ones tuning into Miss America, and we don't realize that not only is she a national icon, but she's an international pageantry icon. Carissa Cameron captured the title of Miss America 2010 last year with her charming, personable style and her over-the-top vocal performance in talent. Please help me welcome back to Pageant Talk Radio one of our very favorite Miss Americas, Miss America 2010, Carissa Cameron. Hey, Carissa.
Hi, thank you for that warm welcome.
So thrilled to have you here. It's so exciting. It seems like 2 or 3 months ago that you were crowned, but I know you've been doing a gazillion things in the last year. Tell us a little bit about what happens in those very first few moments. Like, what is it the first moments after you're being crowned up until, say, the coronation ball? Walk us through what happens.
Well, the very first thing that happens is they take you off stage and upstairs to a little private room where you have the opportunity to kind of gather your thoughts, let it all sink in that it just happened to you, and, of course, to get your makeup back right because we have the raccoon eyes from all the tears and all of those wonderful things. But those were my very first moments as Miss America, and coming off of being involved in the Miss Virginia program for 4 years and have lost my state pageant 3 times in a row, I knew what the disappointment was like and what it feels like to have laid your heart on the line and given all that you possibly could have given and not walked away with the title. And so in that moment, I chose to take my few moments just to pray for the comfort of my fellow contestants because I knew what it's like, you know. And so I just wanted for God to move in their lives to show them what their path was supposed to be and what they were meant to be doing. And, you know, for them to find fulfillment and going back home and being missed state, and also realizing what the jewels in the journey were that they were supposed to gain, and what God meant by all of it. You know, that's always one of the things that I want. I want clarity and I want understanding. And so it's so amazing to have been throughout this year and to hear from my pageant sisters again and to hear about some of the amazing things that they're involved in and that they're doing that they wouldn't have been doing if they were Miss America. And now they realize that this is what I was supposed to be doing. Like, Miss Nebraska just got a wonderful job being a news anchor, which is what she always wanted to do, you know? And so it's just amazing to see where people are, even post-pageant, because, of course, only one girl can win that crown. But there are so many girls who have walked away from this program who have been better because of it and are winners in their own right.
You know, I totally agree with you, Carissa. And I have to say, in all honesty, I think that the Miss America organization has an unparalleled track record in the fact that their state title holders and even their local title holders go on to be successful in other areas of life. And I don't think anybody can even, you know, touch that record, because there are so many state title holders who go on to wonderful careers or volunteer service opportunities. And it's just amazing. But let's hit the rewind button for just a minute and let's wind it all the way back to before the pageant, because a lot of the young ladies listening today are actually state title holders getting ready for the big show in January. I know. So tell me, what things did you do in those final weeks of preparation before you left for the pageant that you think that contestants would find to be really helpful? What were some of the steps you took to make sure you had everything in place? Any way that you were keeping yourself inspired or motivated in a positive mind step? Give us the scoop, Carissa.
All right. Well, let's see. To make sure that I was absolutely prepared, I actually started packing for Vegas a month ahead of time. I started laying out clothes and putting them on a separate clothing rack. So all of you state title holders out there who have not started packing, start right now. and so what I did is I went day by day based on the schedule, and I laid out what the outfit was going to be. And when it was time to pack, I put everything in little Ziploc bags right down to the accessories that went with it. And I committed to that outfit, because I think the biggest trouble that we get in as title holders is we overpack when we go, and then we're overwhelmed when it's time for a certain phase of competition, or what do we wear to this, or what do we wear to that. So I committed to the outfits. I put them in their little Ziploc bags, and I put all those Ziploc bags in a Space Saver bag, and I vacuumed it shut. And so I only went to Vegas with two suitcases and a carry-on, which
so you,
is unheard
of. Seriously, Carissa, you used one of those Space Saver bags? Did you really?
It was a lifesaver, yes.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that tip.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And when it was time for me to pack, I just asked housekeeping to bring me another Space Saver bag, and it was so easy for me to win, because of course what we girls have to realize is that one of us really can win. Like, it can happen.
Right.
And your
yes.
mom and dad are responsible for getting all the rest of your stuff back home. And so if you brought 92 suitcases with you, they're going to be paying a lot of money to get your stuff back. So I was just able to space save my bag. My mom was able to slip it into her big suitcase and take it back home, the things that I weren't going to be allowed to take with me.
So wait a minute. When you went back home, did housekeeping come and vacuum it, like, sealed again?
They brought the vacuum to me, because you actually have to pack your bags up prior to competition on Saturday night.
Right. So they brought you the vacuum and you did it. That is so cool, Carissa. Okay, everybody needs to order their Space Saver bag right now.
They're amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's a little index card inside with what each outfit is and what day it belongs to. And it absolutely saves you so much time. The second thing I did in regards to motivation, is I wrote every day in a journal, and I wrote about the reasons why I wanted this job and I wanted this work of Miss America, all of the reasons why I could do it, the tools that I had been given to do it, and, you know, little motivational quotes or Bible verses that I would find. I would jot all of those things down, and I would kind of just lay my thoughts in that book, and I would leave it. And all of those thoughts were absolutely positive thoughts. I had no room for negative thoughts or to second guess myself or any of the preparation that I was involved in. And so what I told the girls, especially in Orlando, is to rest on the fact that some of us have been preparing for this moment our entire lives. And you're not going to forget how to walk. You're not going to forget how to speak. You're going to be on autopilot almost. And so it's so important to go and just rest in the fact that you've prepared in the best way possible. And so while I was in Vegas, I had that little book with me, and I never reread my thoughts until I got to Vegas. And so when I got to Vegas, I had the books full of appearances that I had done as Miss Virginia and the feelings that they gave me and how I was hoping that I could one day magnify that on a larger level. And that's why I was at Miss America at that moment. And so just having little motivational pieces of thought, be it from your parents, be it from Bible verses, things you find online, or just things that you think, it's wonderful to get your mind kind of out of pageant mode and back onto the work. And the more that you focus on the work, the more that you'll be prepared, because you'll realize that that process of getting you to the work is really only an interview. And the best way to get a job is to already be doing the job.
I think that's great advice, and you're right. The best way to get a job is to be already doing the job and to be able to articulate how you have the experience to make the appearances and promote your platform and promote the national organization, having promoted it at the state level. And I think that's great advice. So many times contestants spend way too much time focusing on their wardrobe. Not that it's not important. We all know that it is. But sometimes they spend so much time focusing on wardrobe or talent that they don't actually practice the job, making appearances,
right,
speaking about your platform, promoting. Because even though I know, Carissa, you sang during your year, because I had the pleasure of hearing you on several occasions, yes, you perform your talent, and yes, you obviously wear clothes, but it's not, I bet that that's probably only 10 to 20% of the job.
Maybe
it's really 10%, the appearances, isn't
maybe
it?
Maybe 10%. Yeah, yeah. It really is the service orientation part of the service oriented part of the job, excuse me, that you are really doing on a daily basis. And every now and again, you might get a chance to pull your talent out of the bag. But if you are in this primarily for the fact that you want to wear pretty clothes and you want to perform your talent, then you completely missed the mission of what the Miss America program is altogether. And so it is so very important for you to, you know, realize why you're in this thing, the promotion of your platform and wanting to make a difference, because those are the things that the judges want to get to know about you. And they could really care less what you have on. They want to get to know the girl. And that's what's important. And I also say that sometimes pageant contestants make a mistake of hiding themselves in their clothes. They, you know, they spend so much time finding the perfect outfit, and though it's the cutest outfit on earth, you're so focused on the fact that, you know, she has on a lime green interview suit with green rhinestones and purple shoes, that you're not focusing
right
on what she had to say. And I think that's important. When you are going into this role, you are going into it as a businesswoman, so it's very important to look the part, but look the part to the point that people are focused on what you have to say and not exactly what you're wearing. And I think that's one of the most important things, especially for your first impression, being that that is your interview.
Right. And we all know that first impressions can really last and carry through completely. Now, it's been my experience that some contestants come to Miss America, you know, to compete, and they make a few oopses or have a little bumps along the way, and they don't respond to or react to those very well. And by, before we get into prelims, those girls have kind of like checked out of the net, I call it. They're already checked out. They're not really in competition. Were there like one or two absolute don'ts that you would tell people, don't get hung up on this, don't worry about this, or don't react this way?
I would say, don't beat yourself. And the first way that you can beat yourself is absolutely getting your head out of the game. And primary example, I will give you one of my big, I would say what some people would consider a catastrophe, but because I had such a piece about me that week, I just didn't let it rattle me. Before I left for Miss America, I had a wardrobe showing at a museum. And all of you all know my evening gown is yellow. And I showed that evening gown at the museum, and it was completely black on the train. And this is 3 or 4 days before I'm leaving for Vegas, and I have a black train. And, of course, my mother's freaking out because she's like, oh, my God, we're never going to get this stain out. So we took it to the cleaner, the same cleaner that had been cleaning my gowns the entire 4 years that I competed in the Miss Virginia pageant. I get my dress back, and it's a foot short.
You're kidding.
No, it's a foot short. And I'm leaving for Vegas the next day, and I was like, we're in a pickle now, aren't we? And so I said, you know, I have some backup clothes. That's always my, that's always one of my other rules, is to have a backup gown or backup something that's equal or to the equivalent of what you have. But if something does happen, because you never know, you're not rattled by it. And I said, you know, I have a backup gown. We can just take that one, but let's see if we can call the designer and see if she can send me the exact same gown, you know, to Vegas. And so that's exactly what she did. She sent me the exact same gown to Vegas, but...
And that was Sherry Hill, wasn't it?
Yes, It was two sizes too big when it got there because
of course
it was a sample size, and sample sizes are normally sixes, and I wasn't a six at Miss America, so I had to trust the seamstresses in the back to do major alterations to my gown the day before I competed in preliminary.
Bless their hearts.
So, yeah, Thursday night when I competed prelim gown, you can kind of see that it was still a little big. And then by Saturday night, they had taken in too much and it was a little too tight. So that was my wardrobe catastrophe. But it wasn't something that I allowed to shake me, because as much as I loved that evening gown and I wanted to wear yellow so bad and it had been my vision for the pageant, I knew that a gown wasn't going to make or break that pageant for me. And so it was so important that I focus on being the best me that I could be. And so with that meant I had to walk out there in a burlap set, I was going to sell it. And so that's what I think girls have to recognize, that it's not the gown that's going to make or break it for you. It's who you are as a person. It's how you shine that week. It's what the judges see in you and not what they see on you. And so I would hope that as girls prepare and those little boo-boos happen, that they don't get rattled by them, because I think – your true character shows when you're under pressure, you know?
Right.
You want to shine, and diamonds come from pressure. So if there's some pressure on you right now, use it as a working tool and use it as a learning experience to make you the person that you want to become and shine through the circumstance.
I think that's great advice, and I know that the ladies listening today, you know, one of you will be Miss America, and a lot of it does depend on how you're able to handle the pressure of the competition.
And being ready to adapt, because it doesn't stop that week.
Right.
You win Miss America, your year consists of adaptation. And so if you get frazzled by little things, it will be a very tough year for you, because there are times where your flight doesn't come or your bags don't make it with you. And, you know, things happen. It's just life. And when you're on the road as much as a Miss America's on the road, things are bound to happen more often to you than they do to other people. And so you just kind of have to be prepared for all of those oopsies that come along.
And I know that the staff does a great job in trying to smooth out as many of those as they can. But let's be honest, when you're a celebrity on the road as much as you are, there's bound to be, you know, a sponsor event that has to be pushed back or some other kind of oops. How does it feel going from, you know, I mean, obviously in Virginia, you were a total celebrity, but outside of Virginia, you were probably kind of a little tiny bit of a nobody. So how does it feel to go from, oh my gosh, not very many people know me, to, oh my gosh, I'm an American icon? How does that feel, and how do you adapt to that?
It's one of those things that I still don't think that I have adapted to, because the Miss America brand and the icon that it is that it's something that's so much bigger than myself, and sometimes it still is hard to wrap my mind around. And I don't think it's ever something you really can adjust to, the fact that you can be on an airplane and someone know who you are, and aren't you the Miss America? And you're like, wait, what? You know that? It's one of those weird, weird things, but it's also a tremendous responsibility, because when you are in a position of what I would like to call a leadership position, a role model position, you have all eyes on you all the time. And so to have that kind of responsibility and have the reputation of the organization and the women who compete and the women who have come before you on your shoulders, sometimes it's something that is really overwhelming. And so I try not so much to focus on that aspect of it, more as I like to focus on the fact that I would hopefully like to make the people of this organization proud. I would like to make my Miss America sisters proud. I would like to make my predecessors proud. And I would like to make my family proud. And so that's how I live my day by day. And, you know, still sometimes I get psyched out and freaked out by the fact that people know me.
Right,
know
exactly.
Me for the rest of my life. So it's absolutely amazing.
You know, and I think one thing that people in the United States might not realize is that not only is Miss America an icon, a known celebrity within the United States, but Miss America is the number one icon that other countries think
absolutely.
Of when they think
absolutely.
Of American pageantry. They think
absolutely.
Of Miss America. And so
I
not only are you known, you know, within the United
here.
States, you're actually known internationally. Like, didn't you go to, you went to Germany this year?
I went to Germany, and the people of Germany were overwhelmed by me, and they were like, freaking out. Like, you would have thought I was, like, Angelina Jolie over there. Like, it was
right.
insane. I'm like, I'm really not that famous. Like, but you know, they thought that I was. And being that I've had the pleasure this year of having my clothes sponsored and my makeup sponsored by Artistry Cosmetics, they are very big in Asian countries. And Miss America is huge in Asian countries. And so when they told me about that and how the products that I have been using have, like, been flying off the shelves over there whenever I do summits and stuff like that, it's just amazing to see the reaction of different people from different cultures, how they react to a Miss America. And it really is an amazing thing to see, because I know that this is something that is deeply rooted 90 years, you know, and these people's reactions are as a result of a 90-year lineage and history of a pageant that is so great. And so it's awesome to know that we are recognized in that way and that people hold us in such high esteem.
I totally agree, and I think it's because of the wonderful work of Miss Americas like yourself and the staff at the national office and the thousands of volunteers who make the Miss America pageant
Absolutely.
What it is. And speaking of the Miss America pageant, of course, it's going to be held in Las Vegas on Saturday, January 15th at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central on ABC, live from Planet Hollywood. But before that night, Saturday, of course, the contestants are going to be competing in personal interview and preliminary competition. So let's start with personal interview, Carissa. What are two tips that contestants should absolutely do in their personal interview?
I would say what's on your mind and not what you think that the judges want to hear, or not what you have prepared based on the fact that you read their bio and you found out whether they were conservative or liberal or what have you. I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that they do not care necessarily where you stand on either side of the issue. What they care about is whether you can articulate your feelings and whether you can back them up with the courage of your convictions and do that eloquently without offending anyone. So that was my first piece of advice. You don't have to, you know, stand on the rope because you think that that's the right thing to do, and you don't have to say what you think that they want to hear, because I can guarantee you that the fact that you stand up on an issue will be one of the things that set you apart, because a lot of girls make the mistake of wanting to just blend in and say the most PC thing.
Right.
As opposed to actually giving their opinion. And that's going to make you stand out. And then I would say the second thing is when you get out of that interview room, don't rehash your interview and say what you should have, could have, and you would have said, because all that's going to do is affect your demeanor for the rest of the week. And if all you're thinking about is what you should have answered and what you should have said or what you could have worn or what your hair should have looked like, that's all going to bleed into the other phase of the competition, and you're not going to shine as brightly as you could. And so I would say on every phase of competition, no matter what phase of competition is, once it's over, it's over. Do not rehash it. Leave it all on the floor and let the chips fall as they may. Because the minute you start second-guessing yourself, just like it happens when you are getting rattled by something, you are in the process of beating yourself. And the last thing you want to do is to go home and feel like you beat yourself.
Right. It's so easy to get into a negative energy cycle or a negative energy thought process about your interview, because it's been my experience that very few people actually think they did 100% everything perfect in their interview. Yeah, nobody loves their interview. Everybody, oh, I should have said this, or I forgot this point about my platform, or I forgot to mention this really critical appearance. You know what I mean? No one likes their interview, ladies. Stop worrying about it.
No one ever does.
Don't you think you, I know, nobody likes their interview. I think you should be focused on whatever your next event,
Absolutely.
You know, scheduled in the preliminary.
Exactly.
You know, once
exactly.
it's over, there's nothing you can do to change it.
And I would say, I know a lot of the moms are probably going to send me like a hate email after this. But I would say to the contestants that, because I know that sometimes our moms can be the big source of the stress during competition. And it's
no.
because they love us.
Oh, no.
And it's because they love us and they want us to
I know.
Do
and we love the moms.
We
do.
We do.
No.
We cannot do this without you. But after you have packed our stuff for us, because I know some moms out there packing stuff. I know my mom helped me pack my stuff. And after you have loved on your daughter and told her how wonderful she is and how she can go out there and she can totally win this thing, lay off. Because all that's going to do, if you start nitpicking and saying, oh, you should have done this, or you shouldn't have done this, or why did you do your hair like that, or blah, blah, you know,
right.
it starts little arguments. And those sort of things can take your daughter off her game
right.
as well.
Once the contestant has arrived at the pageant venue, once she has stepped her toe onto Planet Hollywood, the entire function of the family, the mom, the dad, the brothers, the sisters, and the extended family, you have now moved into cheerleader mode. You shouldn't
exactly.
be critiquing
exactly.
anything. You should absolutely only be in cheerleader mode. That's it.
All positivity. That's all that they should say. Only think positive.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so let's go on to talent. What are two yes. things you should absolutely do in talent?
Well, the first thing I would say is love your talent piece. I've found that especially in locals or state levels, a lot of times we as contestants, because we want to get other people's opinion, sometimes our own opinion gets lost in that. And I think that's sometimes one of the most dangerous things that we can do, because if you have someone telling you that maybe you should perform this piece that Sally, you know, Miss Nutcracker Festival performed in 1980 that won her the title, that might not be the piece that works for you. And so finding the piece that you can fill, finding the piece that you can fall in love with, makes all the difference when you're performing your talent, because everything doesn't work for everyone. And I think that's one of the most important things that people realize, is that everyone in a pageant is an individual. And though we are all here trying to work towards the same goal, we all have our own individual talents, our own individual strengths, and it's our job to maximize on those things to perform in the best way that we possibly can. So fall in love with your piece is most important. The second thing that I would say is to absolutely practice your piece in your costume. And at first I didn't think that that applied to singers, because, you know, you just get up there and you sing a song, or at least that's what I thought. And I had begun to practice my talent piece in the original gown that I thought I was going to wear. And I realized that because I recorded myself, so if you guys aren't doing that, you should also record yourself to see what your performance looks like and what your clothes look like and if anything needs to be taped or fixed or anything like that cosmetically. I saw that as I sing, because I kind of tend to get into my songs a little bit and I bend and twist and dip a little sometimes, the gown that I had puckered on the side.
Oh.
And I didn't like the way it looked. And I never thought that a singer has to worry about what her costume looks like. But even singers have to worry. And the same thing goes along with pianists and how your dress is laying when
right.
your feet start moving and that sort of thing. So I would say practice in your piece, in your talent costume, and record it so that you can watch it back and see what it's going to look like on that telecast.
And then what would be your number one tip for health and fitness and lifestyle?
I would say the number one tip for health and fitness, especially leading up to pageant, and me being an eater, because I'm very much an eater. I never was good at dieting.
Oh, me too. I eat really well.
Yeah. I ate the things that I liked to eat in moderation. And I think that's the most important thing, because when you are trying to get your body to a certain percent body fat or whatever, sometimes you can end up getting tired because you're not eating as much as you should be eating, or your body isn't giving the carbohydrates that it needs to be healthy. I think what's important about the lifestyle and physical fitness portion of competition is that you are actually portraying what your lifestyle is on stage. And that was what was important for me. And a lot of people thought that I was one of the more curvy contestants at Miss America, and that was fine. But I knew that I was healthy because I worked out 3 to 5 times a week. I ate what I wanted in moderation, and I drank lots of water. But that's something that I've always done. And so when we got ready for competition, it really was a true portrait of what my lifestyle and physical fitness really was. And it wasn't a crash diet that I did to get ready
right.
for pageant, to get some crazy 9-pack that I've never had in my life. I truly went out there, and I was confident in the way I looked, because it's the way I looked all the time. And so, you know, after the pageant, I didn't gain 35 pounds because I didn't lose 35 pounds. And
right.
so I think that's the most important thing, is to remain healthy and don't starve yourself of those things that your body naturally needs to perform. And so I would say, if any of you guys are on that kind of diet where you cut out all carbs and things like that, anytime you're cutting out something completely out of your diet, it gets dangerous. And I would encourage you all not to diet in that way, because at the end of the day, one of you all will be Miss America, and you have to be a role model for young women. And the last thing we want to tell young American girls to do is starve themselves.
Right. And you have to be able to physically keep up with the demanding schedule. And if you've just spent the last 2 months on some bizarre crash diet,
exactly.
you're not going to be able to maintain that.
You need
to be at a fitness level that you can maintain effortlessly
exactly.
so you
exactly.
can just slide right into the job. And speaking of sliding,
yeah.
slide right into gown and tell me now, okay, so they're already in a beautiful gown. Their hair and makeup is lovely. What's the
yeah.
number one tip for their gown presentation?
My tip was always to think pretty thoughts. That was always my
I like
biggest
that.
Tip. think pretty thoughts, like all of the things wonderful and pretty and elegant about every movie you've ever watched or every movie star who you've ever wanted to emulate. Like, think all of those thoughts, you know, think Breakfast at Tiffany's and, you know, all of those things, and just put yourself in the mindset of if you were one of those stars. And that's how I acted, because I knew that, you know, I always knew what I wanted. You know, all little girls can go out their weddings for the beginning of their lifetime. And I was like, I know that in Amy Not Miss America, I want to feel just as beautiful as I think I'm going to look on my wedding day. and so I just thought pretty thoughts the entire time. You know, if I were walking off stage right now and Prince Charming was there, I would be perfect. And that's how you float across the stage, is if you're waiting for to be in some beautiful movie and be an amazing star somewhere, red carpet, whatever. Whatever pretty thoughts work for you.
Well, and you definitely floated across the stage in that beautiful gown, and you looked amazing. And then, of course, is the dreaded moment where you've been called and you're in the top group and you have to do your final onstage question.
Oh,
I know that a lot of people put a lot of stress into this, but realistically, the judges have now seen you in so many areas of competition. Do contestants really need to get that tied up about their onstage
question? No. And you know what's so funny to me is that we watch pageants so much, those of us who are involved in pageants, but we forget what we watch, which is one of those amazing things. It's like, how do you turn your brain on and off? And I don't know. I know you guys, everybody across the country has watched a pageant before and it's gotten down to onstage questions. And you're like, man, that girl didn't answer the question, right? We've all said that, right?
Right, we've all done that. We've all said that.
And she wins.
Right, and we're like, what the heck?
Obviously, either the judges are done judging by that point, or they are taking into consideration all of the wonderful things that you've already done, and they're not going to, like, not give it to you at that last moment because you're under pressure because 9 million eyes are staring at you.
Right, exactly.
Like, it really doesn't matter. And so, of course, nobody wants to go up there and make a fool of themselves, of course, because you're on TV, and nobody wants that. But I would not put that kind of weight and that kind of pressure on that 30 seconds. Because you only really get 30 seconds before they ring the bell on you. And we've even seen girls who've had the bell rung on them win a pageant. So it can be done.
And really, the judges are looking over, you know, when they're getting that final ballot, they're considering your personal interview, your performance in preliminary competitions,
everything.
Your performance in final competition, and...
Right.
You know, that onstage question is just a tiny portion of the whole week that they've seen you compete. Well, Carissa, I'm so thrilled that you could take a moment out of your busy schedule to chat with us today. We absolutely wish you the best. You've been an amazing Miss America, and I'm sure you've inspired and motivated countless numbers of young women. And for those of you who want to tune in and watch Carissa give up her title, that will be on Saturday, January 15th from 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on ABC Live from Planet Hollywood. To get your tickets, you can visit the Miss America pageant at www.missamerica.org. To check out Carissa's blog on the missamerica.org pageant website, just click on blog and you'll find out everything that she's doing in her final month. On Facebook, you can find them at Miss America Organization. On Twitter, it's Miss America Live, all one word. Carissa, thanks again for being with us today, and we wish you absolutely the best.
And I would like to add one thing for all the pageant fans out there. The 90th anniversary edition of the program book is hardback this year, which is something that has not been done in a very long time. And so I would encourage people, if they want that collector's edition of the Miss America program book, to order it online on the website.
Yeah, you can order it now.
You can order it now. So get it.
And it makes a great Christmas gift for your favorite pageant fan. Yeah, it could be a thank you gift for a pageant director who's done a great job for you, or pageant staff member. It's a great commemorative item.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Carissa. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, that was a great conversation with Carissa Cameron as she gets ready to give up her crown. And I want you to know that at Pageant Talk Radio, we are just excited as you are about the next Miss America and the upcoming Miss America pageant, which is why we're doing our 4-week countdown to the pageant. It's time for a short break, but stay tuned. I'll be right back talking with Miss America's outstanding teen, Lacey Russ, about her fabulous year so far and what it's like to be one of America's most recognized teens. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back here on Pageant Talk Radio. Are you struggling with choosing a pageant wardrobe? Are you hoping to discover your own winning style? Meet professional model, former title holder, owner, and fashion stylist of La Casa Hermosa Gown Shop, Robin Fleming. Robin has over 25 years of experience in fashion styling, personal branding, and creating winning looks in all phases of pageant competition. Robin knows how powerful personal branding can catapult you to the crowning moment, and she and her staff have helped hundreds of women achieve their dreams. Working with the professional stylists at La Casa Hermosa, you can select wardrobe to play up your assets, create your own winning style, and set yourself apart from the crowd in each phase of the competition. Be seen as the winner at your next pageant. Visit La Casa Hermosa online at lacasahermosa.com or call today 561-301-5523 for your personal appointment. They don't just sell you a dress, they dress you to win. Are you confused about what makeup you need to create your best pageant look? Perfect Pageant Glam Kits take all the guesswork out of selecting the right makeup for your next competition. Each glam kit includes custom coordinated eyeshadows, eyeshadow base, glowing cheek color, and a lip color, all perfectly coordinated to create your winning look. Plus, you get a full set of instructions so you can be your own personal makeup artist. To get your glam kit, just visit www.pageantfaces.com today or email us at imageconsulting@airmail.net. You're going to love the way you look. Do you have the number one tool used by elite title holders to create a winning pageant interview? Do you want to ace any question during your pageant interview? You need to get your copy of Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions today. The biggest mistake contestants make when practicing is using a limited list of practice questions. If you're practicing on your own or with the same practice partner, you're going to be practicing the same questions over and over. It's just hard to think of a wide variety of practice questions on your own. Valerie's 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions eliminates that problem and helps you prepare to answer any pageant interview question. Plus, the questions are specific to your competition division. 501 Perfect Practice Pageant Questions is a downloadable ebook. Just download it to your computer and start developing your interview skills today. Visit Valerie's website, www.pageantinterviewcoach.com, and click on products. With Valerie's Perfect Practice Pageant Questions, you're on your way to a winning pageant interview.